You are listening to the Zen Nova Scotia podcast with talks by Cone Franz. These talks are made possible in part by generous donations from our listeners. To find out how to support and take part in our community, visit zennovascotia.com.
I've had it pointed out to me that if you listen to a lot of the talks here, you find that I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. I feel that as well. And as I was searching around for what to talk about today, I stumbled upon a quote that very much falls under a category that we touch on a lot. But when I read it, I found myself excited about it again and thought, well, we should discuss this. There are some things that I think we can't drive home enough. Again, I'm reading tonight from the Record of Things Heard. Dogen instructed, Zen Master Daye said, you must practice the way with the attitude of a person owing a vast debt and being forced to return it despite being penniless. If you have this frame of mind, it is easy to attain the way. In the Shinjin Mei, we read, the supreme way is not difficult, just refuse to have preferences. Only when you cast aside the mind of discrimination will you be able to accept it immediately. To cast aside discriminating mind is to depart from ego. Do not think that you learn the Buddha Dharma for the sake of some reward for practicing the Buddha way. Just practice the Buddha Dharma for the sake of the Buddha Dharma. Even if you study 1,000 sutras and 10,000 commentaries on them, or even if you have sat zazen until your cushion is worn out, it is impossible to attain the way of the Buddhas and patriarchs if this attitude is lacking. Just casting body and mind into the Buddha Dharma and practicing along with others without holding on to previous views, you will be in accordance with the way immediately. He starts with this great quote that you must practice the way with the attitude of a person owing a vast debt and being forced to return it despite being penniless. This may feel very real for some people, but he's speaking to monks who wouldn't have had at least this problem. What is the attitude of a person who must pay back a debt and has nothing to do it with or sees no end? What is the level of acceptance? What is the clarity in that? He doesn't say you must practice the way with the mind of someone who owes a vast debt and is trying to find a way out of it. Or that you must practice the way with the mind of someone who knows there must be a loophole. You must practice as if you have a responsibility that you cannot imagine ever getting out from. Ever. How do you wake up knowing there is no end to your work? How do you wake up knowing that everything that you seem to receive, you are obligated to give away? You know this is good Buddhism because it sounds so bad on the surface. When in fact, what he's saying is something beautiful. Later, he says this, and this is a refrain for him. Do not think that you learn the Buddha way, Buddha Dharma, for the sake of some reward for practicing the Buddha way. Just practice the Buddha Dharma for the sake of the Buddha Dharma. To understand this is to understand the whole thing, but it's the hardest thing. I've used this example before, but I like it because it makes me feel nostalgic. That when I was a kid, I would go to the supermarket and I would look at all the breakfast cereals, and I knew at a glance which ones were for grown-ups and which ones were for kids. Because the cereals that were for kids had a prize. There was something at the bottom. There was a reward. And if I made my way all the way to the bottom of a box of Fruit Loops, in addition to the myriad rewards of having eaten all that sugar, I got some sort of plastic something, right? I knew there was something waiting for me. But all the cereals for grown-ups, the only reward was fiber. Fiber forever. We understand this. It is one of the easiest litmus tests we can apply to our lives. When we talk about these things in the context of this tradition, we often talk in terms of being Buddha, right? That in this tradition, the ground is not that we are learning to be Buddha. It's not that we are moving toward being Buddha, but that in fact we are starting from the place of accepting that we are Buddha, that there is the responsibility that comes with being Buddha, and we move from there. That's step one. It's not the prize. But if that's too much to take in, and I think if you're a normal person, it might be, back up and start with the idea of being an adult. It's the same. There has to be some moment in your life in which you acknowledge to yourself that you are an adult. And exactly like acknowledging that you're Buddha, in the moment that you acknowledge that you are an adult, you acknowledge that you cannot go back. You might then spend the weekend acting like you're not an adult, but you can no longer pretend to yourself that you are not one. It is not a part-time job. It's your role. And when you acknowledge that you are an adult, you acknowledge primarily that you have a responsibility. It's not about what you wear or how you speak or the kind of job you have. It's acknowledging that you have a responsibility, not just to your life, but to everything to which you are connected. You have a responsibility to everything you affect. And what this tradition would say is that everything you affect is everything. To accept who you are, to accept your status in the world, is to accept that you have a responsibility that is too big for there to ever be a way out. There is no other side. There is no point at which you have paid your debts. There is no moment at which you are permitted to regress. To admit to being an adult is to agree to what has always been your situation. To say, okay, I accept. As we've discussed many times, when you come to this practice, when you come to this room, when you come to meditation, when you come to Buddhism, it's natural that you want something. To be a certain kind of person, or to have a certain kind of insight, to feel a kind of change. But this is not cereal for kids. And so we can't, in an honest way, say, yeah, if you dig deep enough, there's a prize. There's the image that comes to mind for me is imagine you're taking care of your spouse or your best friend at the end of their life. And everything that entails, all of the work, all of the frustration, all of the love, all of the expectation that comes to you. If I'm trying to encourage you in that role, I can tell you something like, oh, if you follow through on this, you'll be a stronger person, right? If you follow through on this, perhaps you'll become kinder. Perhaps your heart will open. But if you're doing that job, you know how hollow it is. For me to be trying to tell you that work is about you and what you will get, it's transparent. It's obvious. You know that that's a lie. Even if what I'm saying is true, it's still a lie. In the same way, if I try to tell you that you should take up this path because it's going to transform you, right? Or because it's going to show something to you that an ordinary person can't see. If you have taken that first step of admitting that you are an adult, you know I'm full of it, right? Because I'm just trying to convince you to do what you already understand you have to do. And that thing that you have to do, that role that you have to play, it doesn't have to look like this. That's not the point. It doesn't have to smell like this. What this offers, for some, is a way of framing that responsibility that feels useful. Because the responsibility felt in its totality is too big. How do you start? How do you manage it? This is one structure for that. It's one kind of guidebook. It's not the only one. And when it's working, again, it's working outside of this room. It's invisible. Even if you study 1,000 sutras, probably none of you will do that. And 10,000 commentaries on them, probably none of you will do that either. It's not really where the culture is at the moment. Or even if you have sat zazen until your cushion is worn out, I like that one though. One, because we think that sitting is medicinal or magical, or that its effects are somehow proportionate to the time we put in. And I also love this one because people are so fond, you've heard me complain about this before, some of you, people are fond of going backward in their lives and doing the math to figure out how many hours they sat, right? So you read books by Zen teachers, it'll start with, yeah, I've sat 35,000 hours. Who cares? That's a stupid thing to say, right? To imagine that zazen is quantifiable, to imagine that your responsibility is quantifiable, is to imagine, again, that if you sit 36,000 hours, you will find that prize. It's just one layer down. He says, even if you do this, It is impossible to attain the way of the Buddhas and ancestors if this attitude is lacking, this attitude of responsibility. And so the opposite is also true, that if this attitude is not lacking, if this acceptance is true, that means that you are on the way. Period. To attain the way is to know which path you're on. It's not a path with an end. It's not even a path with little benches next to the where you can rest. It's just a path that doesn't go backward. I'll stop there.
For more information about Zen, our practice, and how you can support and take part in our community, please visit zennovascotia.com.